I did not set up the order. I did not put myself up first, but I have that pleasure, so I can thank myself for the nice introduction. But what I'll be talking about today is some work that we did this summer on looking at combinations of wetting agents and insect parasitic nematodes or entomopathogenic nematodes to improve their post-application persistence. For those of you who might not be aware, insect parasitic nematodes are obligate generalist parasites. They have this infective juvenile stage. Hopefully we don't have the cursor available here. These IJs are common in soils across the globe, and they infect a wide array of insects. So one thing about insect parasitic nematodes is that they require a thin film of moisture to move in the soil, but to also persist. So once they move into the soil, or move through the soil and they come in contact with a host, they penetrate the host, release a symbiotic bacterium, which ultimately kills the insect, and then they can use that substrate to reproduce on. And reproduction can be in the tens to hundreds of thousands per cadaver. And because of that, their populations are often very patchy in distribution. So because of this patchiness, if we're going to use them in a biological control standpoint in turf grass, we typically inundate the turf with billions of infective juveniles per acre. Now, one of the problems with this approach is their post-application persistence. So this is a review from the mid-90s in multiple cropping systems where we look at applying a standard rate. So here's 100% of your inoculum, and within 3 hours to days afterwards, we might lose anywhere between 40 and 80% of your initial inoculum. Now, the losses kind of subside a little bit, but we still have losses of about 5 to 10% after that until we persist at a very low level. Now, we might get a little bit of recycling in there as they infect other insects, as the IJs emerge from the host. So a couple of factors that are implicated in this poor post-application persistence is sensitivity to UV light, predation by organisms such as mite, but a major implicating factor is soil moisture, or the lack thereof. Now, those of us who work in golf course turf grass know that it can be an inhospitable environment for infective juveniles to persist. We have areas with high sand content. We typically like to maintain the soil at near wilting points for improved playability, and because of the need for soil moisture for movement and persistence in nematodes, that's a difficult thing. So this combination of low soil moisture, high sand content often leads to repellent soils, and the response from the turf industry is to use soil surfactants or wetting agents to improve the uniformity of wetting in the soil. Now, we thought if we could use soil surfactants in this way to improve plant health, could we also possibly improve nematode persistence by mixing these things? So one question we had is whether or not this improved soil moisture by the use of wetting agents would lead to greater numbers of nematodes or less rapid decay or the persistence, but also because nematodes have the potential for one or a few nematodes or infective juveniles to cause host death, uniformity is also important, so on a 2D kind of landscape. So we wanted to look at these two different questions. And to do so, we looked at two different turf grass and nematode situations, one being a surface-active insect, a surface-active nematode, Steinernaeba carpocapsi, that's going to attack mobile insects at the soil-surface interface. In the northeast, this would be appropriately targeting annual bluegrass weevil or black cutworm. And the types of areas that we'd use it in would have short turf and a high sand content. Now, this is the trial that I'll talk about today, only because our second trial we're still collecting data from and we haven't fully analyzed the data sets. But the other system that we're looking in, very different behaving nematodes, Heterobdidis bacteriophora, which is a soil cruising nematode. So its movement through the soil would be very important and possibly ameliorated with the use of wetting agents. So in both of our experiments with both nematodes and turf systems, we looked at persistence, the decay of the inoculum over time in a larger block. These are 1.5 by 1.5 meter plots in a randomized complete block design. But we're also very interested on a very fine spatial scale of how nematodes persist and their uniformity throughout time. And to do so, we looked at these small grids, these 25-point grid systems. These are 30-centimeter by 30-centimeter blocks where sampling was conducted in four different blocks per treatment. Our nematodes were initially purchased through a commercial source, but to ensure optimal viability and infectivity, we reared them through Galeria, through multiple cycles to ensure adequate infectivity in our trials. We used various wetting agents for the persistence study, so in understanding just the number of nematodes available at different time sequences, we looked at a methyl cap polymer, Revolution, as well as two experimental wetting agents. For the fine scale study, we just looked at using Revolution, just the sheer size of the study. Now, all nematode combinations and wetting agents were looked at in the lab prior to their application in the field to make sure there were not any adverse effects of combining these two things. We did not see any issues with viability or infectivity. And we also assessed the ability to apply them through a CO2 sprayer, which there were no adverse effects at up to words of 40 pounds per square inch. So to monitor nematode populations over time, we baited the soils, and we exhaustively baited the soils with wax moth larvae. This is a very sensitive insect host. So at different times, including right after application, 3, 7, 14, and 28 days after treatment, we took soil samples of a uniform weight to uniform depth, put them in a deep petri dish like this, and provide wax moth larvae. And then we assess every 3 days whether or not those larvae have been infected by nematodes. And we can correlate that to infective juvenile density. At the same time that we're assessing the nematode population, we assessed volumetric water content in these plots, as you can see. Little spoiler alert there. We did not supply any supplemental irrigation, but we use this TDR soil moisture meter with the 3-inch prongs to determine soil moisture, both in the persistence blocks, but also in the fine scale study as well. All right, for spatial analyses, we use SADI, or spatial distances by indices. And what SADI does is it's a freeware, it's available on the web for you to download. And what it does is it takes geo-reference data like this, and the program basically scans the arrangement of samples in relation to one another. So what it will do is if you have X and Y coordinate data, so this is just a hypothetical data set that could be volumetric water content or nematodes, the program will scan it and look for high counts in close proximity to one another. And they'll assign that, the program will assign that to a cluster, but it could also look for low counts in close proximity to one another and assign that to a gap. So we have clusters and gaps, but the program is really interested in looking at individual sample points and its contribution to the overall spatial pattern. So what it will do is randomize the spatial patterns thousands and thousands of times, and through this randomization process, it performs significance testing, or we can perform hypothesis testing whether the spatial pattern is significantly different from uniform or aggregated. Another really nice feature about this program is if we have two data sets, in this case volumetric water content and nematode spatial pattern, what the program will do is if they're from the same X, Y, and coordinates, it will look to see how similar these spatial patterns are through the randomization process, perform significance testing to see whether or not it's a positive association at a p-value of 0.025 would be significant association. But we could also have a case where these spatial patterns are dissociated, which is often what we see with predator and prey dynamics. So that would be at a p-value of 0.975. All right, everyone following that? All right, so what did we find? We found that we did some testing of nematodes sensitive to moisture at probably the most extreme times of the year that we had in State College. At the end of May, we had incredibly droughty conditions. This is 14 days in, and you can see that the plots look fairly poor, but the wetting agent plots actually looked really well, really not too bad considering. We saw our most extreme conditions 3 to 7 days after application, so that critical time when we're trying to keep the density of nematodes at its highest. So seemingly good conditions for this study. We didn't see huge numerical differences in the volumetric water content of wetting agent applied or untreated plots. However, they were significant at all sample dates. What we see at 7 days after treatment is volumetric water content in the sand-based root zones was extremely, extremely low. We did get some rainfall between 7 and 14 days that allowed those areas to bounce back, and what we see in the wetting agent treated plots is that they were significantly higher as well as numerically higher. So in the fine scale study where we had essentially 100 points on a 1 foot by 1 foot area, these were significant at all areas. Unfortunately, what we didn't see in the persistence study is an improvement in the number of nematodes out there. So they actually declined at a rate that was similar to the review graph that I showed in other cropping systems where we lost about 15% per day, so 45% within 3 days. In that time when conditions weren't really that bad, between 3 and 7 days when we had our most extreme conditions, we were losing about 5%. At that point, and then it kind of dropped down to about 4% until we were at this very low level. So no difference between wetting agents, no difference between wetting agent and untreated areas. As far as the spatial distribution of nematodes, in our wetting agent treated plots, we lost our uniformity by 3 days in. So as we have this rapid decline, we're already starting to see aggregations. And what we saw in the untreated plot was actually we lost that aggregation right from the beginning, showing a real difficulty in applying high numbers of any organisms into a small area very uniformly. So at 7 days, remember, this is when it's most extreme. We had very, very drying conditions, very low soil moisture content, and they were very aggregated at that point. By the time these plots rebounded with moisture, they are uniform. However, they're at very low densities. Unfortunately, what we didn't see, and these are four blocks combined for each of these graphs I should mention, but what we can see is high counts in close proximity to one another in the volumetric water content. We'd like to see that a little more uniform, but those are high counts in the wetting agent treated areas. But what we didn't see is those spatial patterns matching the spatial patterns of nematodes on a fine scale. So that was not something that we expected to see. But what that suggests to me is that these nematodes are able to persist even in drying conditions. So we remove them from the field at different times. We put them in these petri dishes in the lab, provide ideal conditions. They're probably able to reinfect without much moisture to reinvigorate them. All right, so in conclusion, we didn't see an improvement with persistence or the spatial uniformity of nematodes with the applications of wetting agents on a small scale. We did have very extreme conditions in this first trial with a surface active nematode, but this is also a one-time application. So in the future, what we'll most likely do is look at kind of preemptive applications of wetting agents to try to improve the uniformity to begin with, rather than asking that wetting agent to do the heavy lifting at that time. But we also can't forget the behavior of the nematode. This is a nematode that's evolved to live at or near the soil surface in very extreme conditions, and its persistence is largely due to its high fecundity and its ability to reproduce in great numbers at the soil surface. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge the help that I had on this project and various funding sources. As the timekeeper, I have 1 minute, so. And then I will return to my post. No questions? Thank you.